Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. To say that immigration is not a part of that, I just can't keep letting that be repeated without interjecting here. That's problematic because he's denying an entire reality. He's just by saying they're good people, Constitution, freedom, human rights. Well, yeah, folks, we're under assault by communism. And immigration is being used as a tool. That is a fact.
The socialism aspect before we let them immigrate. First of all, 4 or 5,000 people is not a flood. That was a normal day of immigration months of our history.
We're using that brought up the conversation more than, and I know a lot of people are all very emotional about it, but you and I are more rational than that, Gavin.
But here's the question to you, because we're pretty much on the same page that the socialism is ruining our country. We're becoming Venezuela.
Right.
And for that reason, I mean, I actually, personally, I suppose the fake traits in the USA would love this. I advise the Latin Americans not to go to the USA. I'm like, that's not where you want to go. You don't believe the propaganda. It's not a good free place to go.
Right.
However,
well, you pointed that out very well in your videos. That was another point that I was going to make. Like, you know, because when I, all right, you know, a lot of people are saying how you're the pro open border thing and all that, and I said, well, he can't possibly advise these people to be coming here when he's so well pointed out how kind of screwed up things are.
Well, yeah, and they have, here's the thing, Thomas, they have a right. You're saying we got to do something about socialism. First of all, the USA is gone. There is no United States. There's no more Constitution. The only part of the Constitution that the current government and Blue ISIS recognizes is the right of the government to kill people who won't give them their stuff. The long lost amendment of government that never existed. The only right that the nationalists and the fascists and ultimately the government and the enforcers,
Bolsheviks, really,
recognize is that you obey them. And so here's the question. Under any circumstance, unless someone is aggressing you, right? Because if there's no victim, there's no crime. If a person is not aggressing you or your neighbor, you have no right to impede their movement.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop here just for a minute and unpack that. No, you don't have the right to kill people. You may have the right to detain them. And this is why. If people are being used by a foreign or global power, rather than using an army and an artificial funded movement, and they're using people to exercise their freedom in order to mobilize something, Saul Alinsky rules radical style, using our laws against us, that is no longer the pure freedom of movement. That is the use of useful idiots, and that is not organic, and it is not just somebody who decided to cross the border. It is not the same thing. It is a weapon, and it is a weapon being used to wage a war.
To detain them, to lock them away, or to kill them. So what right do you have, or do you have by extension to grant the government, to stop somebody from crossing the line that we call our border?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't like to grant the government any more power than it has, but it is a matter of legal fact that since 1861, the United States, or as it's been created, the jurisdiction of the federal government has been in a soft form of martial law since 1861. So we know that there's a problem, and this very jurisdiction, if you will, this is why we have executive orders. Executive Order 1 was written by Abraham Lincoln, and they never stopped. That is martial law jurisdiction, and that is why the United States consistently declares a new national emergency, because in their concept, in their minds, and on paper and in law, they believe that the redeclaration, people don't really truly understand what a national emergency is. They are reinforcing a jurisdiction that goes all the way back to the Civil War, and the problem with that is where you say, where do they get their authority? Well, we're all basically prisoners of war. So
you say that, but at the same time, you're saying we have a government of lawlessness and treason, and that government should also stop people from exercising their right to travel.
No, I don't like, see, here's where my problem is. I don't like the government having to get involved with this,
personally, I would like to fix the problems that we have before we continue adding to the problem.
The immigrants are not adding to the problem. We're adding to the problem by trampling people's rights. Should the borders be open or not? Do people have a right to travel?
Well, as far as that's concerned, you know, I have to say that here's the thing, Gavin.
Thomas, I want you to answer the question. Do people have a right to travel across the border freely?
The people don't have a right to come here and take from the pockets.
That's not what's happening.
But that is what's happening. Yeah, it is what's happening, Gavin.
No, it's not. These people are coming up to cross the border. Whether they eventually get on the dole because we've allowed a socialist government is another discussion.
It's not eventually.
Do the people have a right to travel across the border? Yes or no? Does the government have a right to impede your motion, yours or the brown person's or the Chinese person's, across a line in the sand that says this is our jurisdiction? Does government have a right to declare that as a human being you cannot cross a line to live and work? Yes or no?
Well, it's not as easy as yes or no.
It's absolutely as easy. There's a question. There's either rights. The Fourth Amendment is real.
Okay, so the circular argument here, and we both have a bit of it. I'm going to admit that, because I'm complaining about the government and then looking to the government for a solution, and Gavin is saying our country is gone, we're a socialist country, and then turning around saying the Fourth Amendment is real. Okay, so we both have, we're at a conundrum, right? Okay, so what is our conundrum? The problem is this. Once you have a redistributive program, people do not have a right to just take from outside that haven't put into it. And I don't even agree with people utilizing it here. I think it should all be abolished. But the fact of the matter is that it is theft. It's organized theft. And allowing others to take a part in that organized theft, it negates their rights. It completely... Look, if they were coming here making their own way with their own money... And it was a not going to overwhelm the economy here for them to do so immediately, and coming in droves like that, it does. Then I could say that yeah, there should be freedom of movement. Like I said earlier, we had an open border for 100 and some years, but we didn't have a welfare state. You can't have both. And here's the problem. Government creating the problem to offer the solution and pitting us and dividing us. The problem here is this. Until we end the redistributive socialist communist state, we will always have these divisions among us. Period. And that's just a fact. And coming here and taking from others and demanding, and they do. To say that they don't is a lie. I've seen it happen. I live in Arizona. I've lived on the border. I've seen this happen. It happens all the time. Okay, they come here. They don't have food. They don't have money. They don't have housing, and it is given to them. They end up with licenses. They end up with in California. They're voting and they're sitting on city council. So to say that that stuff isn't happening is not true. Okay, I believe in freedom. Free us all. End socialism now.
The right to travel is real. The right to due process and to not be violated and searched and seized. Unless you committed a crime is real. It either exists or it doesn't. You cannot have both.
Let's talk about the criminal aspect, okay?
And then I want your perspective.
Okay.
Yes or no. Do we have the right to cross a border without permission?
No.
Okay. Can I explain to you why? Just a second. That's all I need to know. You have to decide whether you believe in freedom or the Constitution, or whether you believe.
You're absolutely right, but you're not allowing me to explain, and I think you might understand.
I'll go ahead and explain it. I'm going to allow you to explain it, but I'm just saying that it's either yes or no. There's no middle ground.
Here's the thing, okay? When folks come here, like especially in a man, I don't care if it's 5,000 or 500 in a day. When people show up. If they don't have the resources to feed themselves, to house themselves, that's going to be provided for them. It's also going to be that some, even a small element, let's say 5% among them, are maybe criminals seeking refuge. Let's keep it as low as 5%. So you're talking about jails, hospitals, healthcare, food that have to be given. Now, here's the problem. The problem, hold on a second, let me finish. You cut me off when I get close to the point. And the real point is this. I view the taking of our money by the people that are here and redistributing it as theft. So when more people come and are taking more of that, the criminal act that I see is not them crossing the border, but when they cross the border without the resources to either buy a house, rent a place, or do something immediately when they show up. This is why we have immigration laws. You know, if people have the resources to be able to make a move, first of all, let me bring it down to a microcosm. Let's say you have a house. Four people live in the house, or you know, it's a small house. You have a property line. Right? Other people need to live. At what point do you stop inviting people into your house when you can't walk through your living room? All I'm saying is this.
The most ridiculous argument
I've
ever
heard. No, I'm talking about the resources.
No, a house is a house. That's your private property, and a country is not. It's for the beneficial use.
But isn't it? When the money is coming out of our pockets and being redistributed to people who are okay. Dude, this is look, where we're the divide is. Taxation is
theft. Not an argument, Thomas. You're not presenting the human rights and the Constitution.
Okay.
The Constitution says the government shall not do any of these things. You're saying because I've allowed the government to rob and steal and redistribute wealth, therefore
I haven't allowed them to do any such thing. I've resisted it with every fiber of my being.
See, but you're not really willing to recognize. I think we both kind of see the same thing. I see where you're coming from, but I know that we won't fix it by restricting immigration. And I think you know in your heart that the open border is the law. There's no such thing as an immigration law in the USA. The government has zero authority. And look, Thomas, you went to the refuge. The Bundys were down there. They said, no, the government has no right to be here. This law is void. This is the people's land. Immigration laws are no different. 100% of the immigration restrictions in the USA are 100% illegal, and the government has zero authority to tell the immigrant they cannot enter. End of story. That's the law. It's the highest law in our land. It's still even in writing, and even if it wasn't, the human rights aspect would still be there. But just to your point, though, because I'm listening to your point of the taking of the money, consider this for a moment, just to put this in perspective. Let's say a guy goes down the street and he robs an old lady and he takes her purse and he gets $500. And then that guy walks, so this guy's the government, right? He took the $500. Let's say that guy walks down the street and he sees a homeless kid on a street corner and he says, hey, I want to help you out, and he gives him $100. Is the homeless kid culpable in that theft because he took something that was stolen when he didn't have any participation in the crime?
Does he have knowledge of the crime?
Of course he doesn't have knowledge of the crime.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Everybody in this world at this point knows that socialism is...
No.
And if they don't know...
Well, if you're not understanding, and this is the problem, this is why people need to come to Latin...
I have to stop this again here because Gavin's just made a point and lost on the point and then just goes on and deflects to... Well, you need to come here and see. Well, you just made a point. If somebody steals from somebody and goes to somebody else who has absolutely no knowledge of where some money that came that they're handing to them, are they responsible? Of course they're not responsible. But when you come to America without a dime in your pocket and you apply for health care and food stamps and housing, you know that money came from not you. And you also know that it came from the backs of the host nation that you're making the demand upon. It's not the same thing as taking a one-time handout. If you don't know that all of these goods and services are being provided to you off of the backs of other people, then you are an idiot that shouldn't be here anyway. We don't need any more Tide Pod-eating morons. I'm quite sure they're not, though, and I'm quite sure that they know where the money's coming from. And this taxation is theft.
You're not understanding what's going on here. These people are just hearing that, hey, there's good things in the USA. They're a great country. Sure, they hear they have programs and all this and that. Thomas, almost every one of the people...
They're being propagandized, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, they're being propagandized, but so are our own people. You're saying the immigrants should be punished for taking.
No, I'm not. This is here again. We're returning to the conversation of the culpability of the immigrants. I really don't like to put it on them because I know that there's a lot of really good folks among them, Gavin. But here's the bottom line. We have people here that we can't take care of because we already have an inefficient, bureaucratic, overgrown.
That's not their problem.
It is their problem.
You cannot take someone else's rights.
People show up.
You're an idiot and you waste all your money. You can't take someone else's rights because of that. End of story. Rights are rights. They don't.
You talk about private property. Let's talk about public property. Let's say we have a barbecue on a street and we have a block party. If you have 1,000 people show up and overwhelm that block party, more people than can eat, more people that can be taken care of, at some point you got to shut it down. And
that's not how a block party works, because people contribute to the block party.
Well, yeah, but what are when you arrive in a country, right, and you don't have a dollar to your name or a pot to piss in, what are you contributing when you get sick and you need health care or medical care,
Thomas,
or you need food or you need all these other things?
People come to the USA to work. The fact that you tolerate police who will arrest and deport
I don't tolerate them either.
Without permission is not their fault. You're blaming. I know I'm using you, and I'm not just trying to blame this.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I say I don't tolerate them either.
I'm speaking to the mindset of our country, though. We're blaming someone for our crimes, and I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to allow it to be called patriotism. I'm not going to allow the slippery slope that says because we have a problem, we have to violate people's fundamental rights until that problem is fixed. The Founding Fathers demanded freedom to travel. The borders were to be open. The idea of restricting immigration was not even on the table in the first Congress. It was never even a consideration. There is no illegal immigrants. There's no such thing. It's an NWO fabrication. Most of it was created in the last 30 years, and much of it after 9/11 to hysterize us with fear.
Yeah, I don't fear. Fall into the fear thing. The fear thing really is I see your point
it
with that.
It's all fear. It's all fear. That's all it is. 20 years ago, Thomas, the good old boy Republican didn't care less about whether the immigrants crossed over. They liked it that they could hire them to work on their farms. And speaking of theft and culpability, how about the fact that 70, 80, 90% of the farmers are on the federal government dole? We have no right to look at an immigrant who's trying to escape violence from terrorism we created in their country and say, how dare you come here and ask for a loaf of bread?
Yeah, but again, we're talking about Hegelian dialectics. Government created the problem and then turn around to offer the solution, and let's be evil so that good can come.
Let's abuse the rights of others so that we can fix the problem. It won't work. That's fascism. It's destroyed our country, that mindset. You cannot abuse the rights of the weak, the poor, the fatherless, and the widow because you're afraid of what they might take from your socialist system that won't restore freedom.
Hello, America. Tonight, we're going to take on the economy. We have done our homework, our research, a lot of it over the last year. Tonight, I just want to focus on the economy. I'm going to close the case on what Barack Obama has said is the fundamental transformation of our country. I believe it's the destruction of our monetary system. We've got a lot of work to do, so buckle up. Here we go. Hello, America. I brought my Zenith TV in from my childhood because I want to show you some old clips tonight. Tonight, I'm going to give you a hard concept to get your arms around. This one is difficult. This is what I think stops us from advancing any argument, because this is a concept where you have to come to believe that there are people in this country who want to intentionally collapse our economic system. How could any American in any party, anybody you disagree with, want to collapse and do something like that? Well, those involved sleep fine at night because they tell themselves that they are not collapsing. They are just fundamentally transforming America into something they believe will be better.
Let me tell you how it's gonna work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It is the progressive movement in which these people are involved. It started at the turn of the last century, and I just want to show you a little bit of what the progressive movement really was, because most people don't know. They hear progressives and they think it's okay. But progressives, these are the people that gave us the Federal Reserve. They brought us that concept. They brought us the concept of redistribution of wealth through a progressive income tax. Got it? They told us at the beginning that only the rich, the very rich, would be affected by this. We all pay income tax now, don't we? Or at least 50% of us do. These are the same people who felt they knew better about your health than you did. They said, well, people don't understand that alcohol is bad and they just won't stop drinking. So they gave us prohibition. These are the progressives. They also first started with the League of Nations. America rejected. But they learned their lesson, and they jammed through the UN the next time. Then they also are the people that brought us the idea that the Constitution is fatally flawed, and it evolves. They stopped teaching constitutional law, and they started teaching only case law in our universities around 1920. And they're also the people that told us that the founders were just rich, evil, white guys. They were racist. That's the progressive movement. Now, something else you need to understand. Progressives don't speak the same kind of language that you and I do. Economic justice, that's Marxism. It's taking from the haves and giving to the have-nots. Social justice, what is that? Well, let me quote Mark Lloyd, a guy I introduced you again to last night. Someone needs to step down so someone else can have a turn. And transforming America, I would say that that means collapsing the system as we know it and rebooting it as a progressive utopia. None of the language is the same, and that's why people get lost. What I would call socialist or communist, they'll call just social justice or progressive. That is critical to understand because it really is what helps these people sleep at night and what's allowing them to get away with it. They really believe they're making things better, and they are about to finish the process that they started over 100 years ago. They learned from their early failed attempts to transform America back around the turn of last century with the League of Nations. It failed. Oh, that made this guy, Woodrow Wilson, crazy. He said, "This is God's work." Well, what did they learn? Let me show you. They learned three things, and see if any of these sound familiar like today's America. To transform, this was what they learned with the United Nations and the League of Nations, you can't have a long debate, because this is what they did with the League of Nations. They let people debate. No. You can't have a debate. You also can't tell everybody your plans. You have to have it secret. Got it. Does any of this sound? I mean, Nancy Pelosi and the secret meetings today, and no debate on global warming. It's over. And then the third thing they learned, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, as we discuss all of these things, I want you to keep watching tonight with your eyes. You will see what I'm going to lay out for you tonight, people trying to collapse our economy. But remember, progressives see this as a fundamental transformation, something better than we've already had, as promised by President Barack Obama.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
All right. So let me introduce you to the people who you would say are fundamentally responsible for the unsustainability and possible collapse of our economic system. There are really two people I've been telling you for a while. There they are. Cloward and Piven. Richard Cloward, Francis Fox Piven. They are authors of the Cloward-Piven strategy. Something else to remember is that this isn't some conspiracy theory that we're tossing out here. They wrote about collapsing the economy and how they plan to do it in an article they co-authored in the 1960s, Mobilizing the Poor, How It Could Be Done. 6 months later, published in The Nation under the title The Weight of the Poor, A Strategy to End Poverty. Well, what is this strategy and who's involved? Well, do you remember on this program over the summer, the tree? Watch this. The roots of the tree of radicalism and revolution. It's Saul Alinsky. It's Woodrow Wilson. That's how it's all made legitimate. It's progressive. Here are the roots. Here's SDS. This is for that democratic society. Cloward and Piven come in and say, wait a minute, hang on just a second. What we should do is collapse the system on its own weight. Cloward and Piven, they're using the same tactics, fear and intimidation of SDS. Cloward Piven, overwhelm the system. And look who the president has. Wade Rasky, right up the tree. Dale, right up the tree. Bill Ayers, right up the tree. Jeff Jones, right up the tree. Okay. Cloward and Piven had a split. They were radical Columbia professors in the 1960s who believed in change and social justice. They were inspired by the riots in Los Angeles in 1965, and they wrote and published their article, which outlined the best way to bring the type of Saul Alinsky social change to America. In their estimation, back in the 60s, overwhelmed the system. But SDS, they had radicals, and they said, no, we want to bomb things. They said, no, do it the smart way. Overwhelm the system and bring about the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with impossible demands and bring on economic collapse.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Cloward and Piven instructed their activist that if a crisis didn't exist, think of this, promote or manufacture one by exaggerating some unthreatening predicament. Does healthcare come to mind, where we've got doctors pulling out tonsils and cutting off patients' feet? Really? How about global warming? Well, their methods have worked for years. From 1965 through 1974, due to the strategy and effort of Cloward and Piven and their followers, the total recipients on welfare rocketed from 4.3 million people to 10.8 million. In 1975, there were nearly 1 million welfare recipients in New York City alone. That year, New York City declared bankruptcy. The whole state nearly went down with them. If you're my age, you remember this. It was Cloward and Piven. In 1998, as he was still trying to deal with some of the fallout, 20 years later, Mayor Rudy Giuliani referred to the Cloward-Piven strategy, describing the economic sabotage. Watch this.
This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a wasn't an atmospheric thing. It wasn't supernatural. It was the result of policies, choices, and a philosophy that was embraced in the 1960s and then enthusiastically endorsed in the city of New York.
Okay. He went on to say that this is the result of policies and programs designed to have the maximum number of people get on welfare. In the end, it didn't work for one reason, because Americans became horrified with a welfare state situation. As a result, Cloward and Piven and their devotees figured it out. They needed to be in the system. Well, we've shown you how they've done that. Here we go. Apollo Alliance, which he is the head of here in New York. That's so right. Here it is, the stimulus bill. Air, I'm outlining earlier this summer. The stimulus bill was written in large part by the Apollo Alliance. Who's on the board of the Apollo Alliance? Well, one of the alums is Van Jones. In New York, the Apollo Alliance is headed by this guy, Jeff Jones. Yeah, that's his mugshot there and his fingerprints. He is a partner for Bill Ayers. Why does he have a mugshot? Because their group, the Weather Underground, was bombing the United States. Got it? By the way, Bill Ayers, that's the guy who's in his living room. Barack Obama launched his political career in Chicago. Now, we've also shown you that George Soros is a source of funding for many of these radical groups, and that Soros and Jeff Jones went to one of the poorest sections in New York just recently and gave away hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of your tax dollars, stimulus money, gave it out. We've shown you the Acorn connections. These community organizers are receiving untold billions in your money despite massive voter registration fraud and corruption. Still, Congress will not turn off the spigot for more than about 60 days. Does it sound like somebody's trying to overload the system yet? How about if I throw in TARP, a massive, inexplicable bailout that America didn't want for people Obama himself described as fat cats? And by the way, you have progressives in both parties. I want to make sure this is not a Democratic Party thing. This is, John McCain is a progressive. You had the Republicans and the Democrats to thank for TARP. $1.5 trillion health care overhaul that less than 36% of the American people want. You got that one going for you. Obama, along with the House and Senate Democrats, are forcing this down the throat of Americans. They say it'll only cost us $1 trillion because, get this thinking, it will save us money by making cuts to Medicare. Yet, at the same time, they're expanding Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare is a program with $74 trillion in liabilities already. Again, the idea, get as many people on government assistance as possible. Does that sound like that's what's possibly going on here today in America? This latest class of progressives have taken the Cloward-Piven strategy to a whole new level. TARP money. People who didn't even deserve it. I mean, if you're a bank and you can't figure out that the guy who works at the car wash, you know, can't afford a $2 million house, you don't deserve to be a bank. But Barney Frank and his friends threatened the banks. They said, if you don't give out these risky loans to people who can't afford them, well, then you're going to have us to deal with. Even the guy who signed off on TARP, a progressive himself, George Bush, warned that tighter restrictions and regulations were needed for Fannie and Freddie. Here's a progressive saying Fannie and Freddie is in trouble. He didn't warn once. He didn't warn twice. He warned 17 times. The stimulus package, millions of dollars, going to fund non-existent projects in districts that don't even exist. We'll get into that later. Well, now Frank and Dodd, they learned the Cloward-Piven lesson in the 70s. You got to be in the system to be able to really collapse it. Oh, and they are certainly part of it. Now, I suppose there are people that mainly are funded by George Soros that will get on their blogs and say this is nothing but a conspiratorial nonsense. Well, again, let me just show you Rudy Giuliani saying it back in 1998, long before I had ever heard of Cloward and Piven.
This wasn't an accident. It wasn't wasn't an atmospheric thing. It wasn't supernatural. It was the result of policies, choices, and a philosophy that was embraced in the 1960s and then enthusiastically endorsed in the city of New York.
Okay. After the nation of Americans that were tired of able-bodied welfare recipients taking money from hardworking taxpayers, Cloward and Piven decided they were going to turn their methods to something else. Oh, they were going to overwhelm the system, all right. Wait until you hear this. They decided to get into voter registration. They started a group like Human Serve. They worked with another group, Project Vote. Gosh, that's tied to Acorn. Isn't that also a group tied to President Obama? John Fund reports that Barney Frank and Chuck Schumer now are about to introduce, hold yourself, universal voter registration. What this is if you're on any federal roll at all, you're automatically a voter. You're receiving welfare, food stamps. Oh, if you're a homeowner or you're unemployed, you are automatically a voter. We'll talk about that more later this week when we get into structure, what they're collapsing us into. But make sure you ponder that for the next couple of days. If Acorn can automatically register everyone, well, maybe that just explains why members of Congress don't care about their poll numbers, why they don't listen to you anymore. This is the same Acorn that has already been indicted for voter fraud all over the country. Cloward and Piven lobbied heavily for the motor voter law, which is widely blamed for getting so much invalid registrations signed by dead people, ineligible and non-existent. They're voting because of this bill, signed in 1993 by Bill Clinton. When he signed this bill into law, guess who was there? Watch carefully. We're about to approach. Oh, boy. Okay, we see. Wait a minute. Who's that lady? Do I recognize that lady? I recognize her. Oh, and who's standing next? Cloward and Piven. Richard Cloward and his wife, Frances Fox Piven. Currently an honorary chair of the Democratic Socialists of America. It is hard to get your arms around this. It is hard to believe that our country has people in it that would want to fundamentally transform it into something else. But believe you me, just because you or I had never heard of this pair, this dynamic duo until recently, don't you think for a minute that they haven't been heroes to the left for years? Bill Clinton knew exactly who they were back in 1993, no doubt back in 1965. You may not have heard of Cloward and Piven, just like you may not have heard of Saul Alinsky until recently. But let me give you a couple pieces of information here. This is Hillary Clinton's thesis. This is from her thesis in college. The name of it is, There is Only the Fight, an analysis of the Alinsky model. Invalid registrations, signed by dead people, ineligible and non-existent. They're voting because of this bill, signed in 1993 by Bill Clinton. When he signed this bill into law, guess who was there? Watch carefully. We're about to approach. Oh, boy. Okay, we see. Wait a minute. Who's that lady? Do I recognize that lady? I recognize her. Oh, and who's standing next? Cloward and Piven. Richard Cloward and his wife, Frances Fox Piven. Currently an honorary chair of the Democratic Socialists of America. It is hard to get your arms around this. It is hard to believe that our country has people in it that would want to fundamentally transform it into something else. But believe you me, just because you or I had never heard of this pair, this dynamic duo until recently, don't you think for a minute that they haven't been heroes to the left for years? Bill Clinton knew exactly who they were back in 1993, no doubt back in 1965. You may not have heard of Cloward and Piven, just like you may not have heard of Saul Alinsky until recently. But let me give you a couple pieces of information here. This is Hillary Clinton's thesis. This is from her thesis in college. The name of it is, There is Only the Fight, an analysis of the Alinsky model. You may not have heard of these people. You may have just assumed that all Americans, when you did hear about them, would feel the same way about them as you do. Repulsed. But you would be wrong. In fact, let me give you the evidence I gave you last night. Here is a statement made just 2 days before Christmas from Chris Matthews to show us that, no, we are not all on the same page.
Back to one of our heroes from the past, from the 60s, Saul Alinsky.
Back to one of our heroes, Saul Alinsky. So, we go back to the board. We have the progressive movement. We see their transformation and the things that they learned. We have spending to collapse, the spending bill done by Apollo. We have Acorn. We have TARP, now unlimited amount in TARP. We have universal Obamacare, expanding Medicaid, which is already in the hole, $74 billion. We have state bribes, record number on unemployment since 1983. And here's a great one, a record number on government assistance as the sole source of income. This is a record number in all of history of America. I got news for you. On overloading the system on purpose to bring about what I would call systematic failure and catastrophic collapse, but what they would call fundamental transformation of America. America, I got news for you. Case closed. But we have more. The stimulus package proposed to save the economy and create jobs. Really? The evidence that that's not really happening. Next. I'm trying to lay everything out for you that we covered last week and show you the facts as we know them. Because there's a lot of disinformation, a lot of smear tactics about me and this program and about what we talk about every night. If I'm wrong, they can call that phone at any time. The White House has the phone number. It is imperative, though, that you see the case closed from last year because we've got to move on. We're not going to be arguing these things anymore. And if you watch all this week, you will see this is true. This is true. All right, so we just gave you the basics of Cloward and Piven. Well, maybe you can find some other rational explanation for what's going on. I can't. If the White House would like to explain it and explain how they feel about Cloward and Piven and all of this stuff, they can call us, and I will gladly put them on the air. I can't make sense of anything the Obama administration and Congress is trying to do right now without including Cloward and Piven. Well, the stimulus package, here's one. It was supposed to save the economy, right? In fact, we were told if it's not passed immediately, the United States may never recover. After the fear-mongering was over and the objections of the vast majority of Americans, they just went ahead and passed it. $787 billion. Well, since then, we have lost over 4 million jobs in 2009. The administration claims, however, at recovery.gov, that they saved or created more than 640,000 jobs. I don't really know how that works. By the way, that amounts to spending more than $240,000 per job. Wow. Total compensation earned by the average employee in October was $60,000. If we would have just spent the stimulus money, you know, we could have used that stimulus money to pay for a year's worth of labor. We could have created 2.6 million jobs, and everybody would have worked for a whole year. But that wouldn't make sense, would it? No, that's why they did it this way. Let me give you a few examples of how they've done this inexplicable disaster. A Georgia community college, they reported creating 280 jobs with $240,000, I believe, of recovery money. In reality, they report no jobs were created. Florida Healthcare Center said it's $98,669 worth of stimulus money saved 129 jobs. Actually, they just gave everybody a raise. Your tax dollars gave 129 people a raise. How about this? The federal government said they created 4,231 jobs that were created with, I like this one, $28.3 million. That one really didn't work out so well. These people were actually employed for 5 weeks. And I believe it was 3,000 people working at a call center for 5 weeks. That was a good investment there, wasn't it? How about this one? $1,047. They say it saved $50. It was in Arkansas. You know what they bought? Lawnmower. A lawnmower. How did a lawnmower mowing the lawn in a cemetery save 50 jobs? And then, of course, we have Chrysler. They received $52.9 million for stimulus money to order new government vehicles. The struggling automaker claimed they didn't save a single job with that one, but thanks for the purchase of those new automobiles. Really? You know what they should have done? Maybe we should have taken this money and bought lawnmowers. Then the Army Corps of Engineers ordered 9 pair of work boots. 9 pair. Maybe we should have taken this money and bought lawnmowers. Then the Army Corps of Engineers ordered 9 pair of work boots. 9 pair of work boots. I can't get an answer on this one, but they say that created 9 jobs. Give a man a boot and he'll never stop working? Is that it? The job creation possibilities? Oh, if they would just throw in a pair of socks. Does this make sense to you? Or does this seem like, excuse me, but bullcrap? This is bullcrap. Let's not forget the recent healthcare reform bribes. Louisiana, Nebraska. Apparently, there are just a couple of states. There's just a few of the states that received bribes. So we have health care. To get it passed, we got a bribe. The CBO says the special adjustment in the bill, which is applied only to Louisiana, at $100 million cost to the federal government. But they say, actually, it's $300 million. At least the representative does. In Nebraska, Vermont, Massachusetts, CBO determined equitable support for certain states would be $1.2 billion over a 10-year period, with Vermont receiving $600 million, Massachusetts receiving $500 million, and Ben Nelson getting the federal government to pick up his state's Medicaid forever. That's not real good. By the way, health care reform bill does nothing it was originally intended to do. It doesn't cover everybody. Remember, that was the crisis. Millions of Americans are still going to be left out. It doesn't lower cost. It actually raises cost and taxes a lot. CBO estimate that states spending on Medicare and S-chips, or Medicaid and S-chips, will increase their cost another $26 billion for the states. Increased cost. Congratulations, state lovers. Then there's the expansion programs. The expansion programs would be another, I think it's $365 billion. Oh, and by the way, Senator Tom Harkin suggested that Nelson got the bribe for his state, that all the states are going to get the same deal. Perfect. Especially when the program is already liable for $74 trillion that we don't have. Surely the new deal for Fannie and Freddie makes sense, though, right? Congress just lifted the ceiling for taxpayers' exposure on the two giants that led the way into the subprime mortgage disaster. They're now going to receive unlimited help. Don't worry about the help. We'll help anybody. We own 50% of the mortgages now in America. The federal government does. And the government improved compensation for the company's top executives of up to $42 million for their superb working, driving those government-sponsored entities into the ground just this past year. This after denying a penny's worth of compensation to other top executives at evil financial institutions like Bank of America's CEO. By the way, these institutions were the institutions that the government claimed they would never bail out. Now, Fannie and Freddie have morphed into a never-ending black hole sucking the money out of your wallet forever. It is interesting how in a year that deal went from no bailout to, okay, this bailout just once, to a never-ending bailout. The reason why I say it's funny is because I believe that what I predicted over a year ago for Fannie and Freddie, and it's what I predict for healthcare today. It will be fully funded. It will be universal. It will fundamentally transform America. It's just a matter of time. Let's look at the board. Let's look at the board. We have, okay, we have jobs that don't make any sense. Let me ask you, do any of these things make sense? Any of them? Do you understand the bills? Do you understand what they've written in the bills? No debate. You can't understand them. Keep them secret. And you got to act right now. That is the Cloward-Piven strategy. Do you understand the bills? The answer is no. Well, let me tell you something. Why would we do them? You know, when the dot-coms went belly up, Warren Buffett, a supposed supporter of the president, President Obama, at least in the beginning, he said this with the dot-com bubble. Watch.
It's your responsibility if you're buying it, and there's got to be a reason. And if you can't state the reason, you shouldn't buy it.
Okay. Can you explain how any of that stuff works? Any of it? Do you understand the health care bill? Do you understand the stimulus bill? Well, then why are we buying it? How much more important is it to apply common sense and Warren Buffett's ideas to what we're doing to our country? Let me tell you something. The stimulus, the health care bill, all of the things that Washington is doing now, does it make sense to you at all? No? Case closed.
America, you need to ask yourself one simple question. Does any of this make sense? Economic sabotage. Next.
Do you remember how horrified you were when you learned that Bernie Madoff swindled people out of billions of dollars and ruined the lives of countless investors? How about Ken Lay and Enron? Well, they're the ultimate bad guys in America, universally hated. I wonder what it will take before the Federal Reserve will elicit a similar response in America. The Fed should horrify every single American, because what they are currently doing makes Bernie Madoff and Enron look like petty thieves. Two years ago, I urged Americans to study the Weimar Republic.
I urge people to read up on the Weimar Republic, because it is, we're making many of the same mistakes.
Got it? Now, I know liberal bloggers right now living in the basements of their moms are taking a break from, I don't know, World of Warcraft to type, oh, there goes Glenn Beck comparing, you know, Barack Obama to Hitler again. No. I'm sure you know Weimar is what preceded Hitler. I bring it up because of what caused their economic collapse in Germany. They monetized their debt. This is something that Ben Bernanke promised us he would not do.
Federal Reserve will not monetize the debt.
Okay. Will not monetize the debt. Got it. That was me showing you that months ago. I showed it last year. But then I also showed you that's exactly what we're doing, monetizing our debt. Do we have it?
This happened a couple of weeks ago. Was it last week that this happened?
Yes.
Yeah, last Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay. Here I am. We're showing the monetization of the debt, and on that episode, I showed you the receipt, just like in Weimar. Of course, when I bring all this up, economists say, oh, that was Germany. This is America. Our economy just can't collapse like that. Yeah. And then I'm called a fearmonger. In fact, I was called the fearmonger in chief for 2009 by SEIU.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.